You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay first aired on July 12, 1985.
Hi, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Nature of Things, a program about the world we live in, presented by FM 90 and the Rice Creek Field Station, a unit of the State University College at Oswego. This is a second report from the fields of Rice Creek. Last week I talked about the goldfinches just beginning to nest in the shrubby field margins. I didn't mention the cedar waxwings engaged in aerial forays after insects with which to nourish their late-hatched young. Nor did I mention the song sparrow's tinkling greeting delivered from the top of a nearby brush pile. Someplace, perhaps at the base of the brush pile itself, a loosely woven basket of grasses contains brown speckled eggs, the second clutch this season for these sparrows. It's a scene full of bright prospects and food for thought. Let's contemplate the flowers which bespeckle this waving sea of grasses. First to the right, within easy reach, are the royal blue blossoms of vetch. Of bad reputation in hay or grain field, the vetch can here be appreciated for its bright but delicate bloom. Its kinship to clover, pea, and alfalfa is evident in its form. Now to the left, with no more than a gentle lean, I can reach the tiny white cartwheel blooms of chickweed. Each radiating petal is cleft nearly to the base, making a dainty 10-pointed star. Here the relationship to pinks and ragged robin is clear. The air is filled with a sweet fragrance, and I know the galium, you may call it bedstraw, is also in full bloom. This long, slender plant with its whorls of pointed leaves insinuates its way through the grasses and weeds so intricately that it's difficult to take a step through the tangle without tripping. From my vantage point, the tiny flowers put me in mind of baby's breath. Other showier blooms are beginning to open. I'm particularly taken with a bank of rusty orange daylilies about a stone's throw distance. It traces the course of a ditch emanating from wood's edge and traversing the field for a few rods. These coarse lilies need closer inspection to be really appreciated. The texture of the blooms is leathery. The pollen-laden stamens provide a graceful arching buttress for the pistil. Most of the other blooms, largely in shades of gold and white, belong to that huge family of superflowers, the composites. Why superflowers? Because each bloom, put bloom in quotes if you would, each bloom is actually a collection of flowers ranging in number from dozens to hundreds. Let me pluck a daisy and share the miracle of its formation. You can repeat this process at your leisure. First, we pull away one of the strip-like petals. That's petal in quotes, for if we look at the petal under a hand magnifier, we can see that what first appears to be a petal is actually an elongate flower. At the base, where it attaches to the button, this petal forms a shallow tube from which emerges a definite pistil. Pull off more of the petals and see that each is actually a separate flower. When all of these white ray flowers, as they are called, are removed and only the button-shaped center remains, we still have a superflower. Examine this button and see that it is covered with dozens of miniature star-fringed yellow tubes, each no longer than a pinhead. Each one perfect, that is, produces both pollen and seed. The daisy then is really a collection of flowers on one button-shaped head. Botanists call this collection an inflorescence, but most of you, remembering the daisy for other things, would tend to call it just a part of our natural heritage. Strain, then, to learn that this familiar bloom is actually an introduction native to Europe and Asia. The daisy isn't the only superflower. Hawkweeds, asters, dandelions, fleabanes, and even goldenrod are all part of this superfamily of superflowers known as the composites. Increasingly, as summer develops and merges into fall, the composites take over nature's meadow gardens, and the resulting tapestry of blooms is truly cosmopolitan, a combination that is worldwide in origin, as historic as it is beautiful. Next time you're out there, look at the fields. That's the nature of things. And that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening, tune in next week, and keep it natural.